We're not expecting him to show any sentimentality tonight. We expect him to play the way he always plays. He'll be a killer tonight. But yes. I hope that Pascal Siakam responds the way I believe that he can respond. Because you look at his numbers right now, Pascal Siakam. Man, someone posted this earlier. Let me find it here. William Liu from Yahoo, I believe. He might be with The Athletic now. No, he's with Yahoo. He posted the comparative stats. Kawhi Leonard in 2018-2019. He had 26.6 points per game, 7.3 rebounds, 3.3 assists, almost 50% shooting from the field, 37% from three, 85% from the line. In 2019-2020, Pascal Siakam is averaging more points, more rebounds, more assists, a better field goal percentage, the same three-point percentage, and a better free throw percentage. Wow. Like, across the board, he's
and
got
Kawhi
better stats.
Last year picked his spots when he played, and it wasn't every night.
No one's saying, and I'm not saying, that Siakam is at his level right now. Yet.
No.
But what
I'm
saying is,
it's an impressive start.
It's an impressive start, and those stats, that's just a fact. Like, you can't dance around it. What Kawhi represented all of last year for the Raptors during the regular season, and he elevated significantly in the playoffs, Siakam is matching it or putting up even better numbers, exceeding those numbers.
The numbers.
That's how well Siakam is playing early
playing
in the
great.
Season. And it's exactly what you needed after he gets a max contract and all the spotlight is on him because Kawhi left.
Yep.
And we'll see what he's got in store tonight. Let's head out to L.A. from ESPN L.A. Here's George Sedano. How you doing, George?
I'm excellent, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing well. I know it's early, but where would Siakam rank in your MVP ballot?
Man, I was joking yesterday on Twitter that he may be, I don't know if there's a rule against this, but he could be, because of the crazy leap he's taken again, most improved player 2 years in a row. But on my MVP ballot, he'd be up there right now. He has to absolutely be in the conversation. I think LeBron is probably near the top of that list right now. But he's absolutely in that top five or six for sure, at least at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron's numbers are off the charts. He didn't play that well last night. He still had a triple-double. But, you know, you expect that out of LeBron, and he's got Anthony Davis, where Siakam, you know, he's got Fred VanVleet. And VanVleet's playing really well, but Siakam's numbers have been off the charts. Vegas not expecting much out of the Raptors tonight, considering back-to-back. They won last night. Kawhi's waiting for him tonight.
Day off tomorrow.
Day off tomorrow. What do you expect to see out of the Raptors tonight?
Man, look, it's tough to win on back-to-backs in general, right? Like, I think that that's part of the equation, too. But I was thoroughly impressed with the way they played yesterday. Look, Boucher played very well. You know, I thought that their guards in general, beyond VanVleet, competed. And again, defensively, they got after it. But what it really shows to me is it's a testament to Nick Nurse. Now, I got a chance to do a bunch of Raptors games last year for ESPN on sidelines, and I got to kind of know Nick a little bit. And the more and more I was around him, the more and more I was like, this guy's amazing. Like, forget about just what he does as a coach, which is fantastic, and how innovative he is, how out of the box a thinker he is. But I just think the connection that he just generally tends to have with people, and you can see that, right? Like, you can see the way he connects with his players. You're missing big pieces in Ibaka and Kyle, and yet they still go out there and beat what's been the best team in the league thus far through the first, you know, eight games or whatever it was. And look, another challenge tonight, but I don't rule them out of any game, despite the fact that they're on a back-to-back and they're shorthanded. But tonight is probably going to be a scheduled L, which, look, it's not a big deal. It happens plenty of times in the NBA based on just injuries in the schedule.
How do you think Kawhi approaches this game tonight? There's a part of me that thinks that he just wants to destroy the Raptors and say, let's move on from this, and it's once or twice a year, and he'll play it off like, oh, it's just my old teammates, but he secretly really wants to beat them bad.
Well, I think he secretly wants to beat everybody bad. I don't think it's just the Raptors. I think that if you guys were around him, what I've learned from being around Kawhi the last couple of years, well, last year because I was at covering a bunch of your games, and this year now that he's in L.A., is he's way more calculated than people give him credit for. Like, he absolutely knows what he's doing and what he's saying and the impact of all his actions and words. So I just think he wants to destroy everybody. I think that when he does play, much like he did with you guys, you're probably going to get his best effort. I do think here in the States he's taken a lot of grief because of the load management. And I think that, and this is something you guys, I think, handled really well, what he's got is a chronic injury in his leg. And it started with that thigh tendon issue that he had in San Antonio. It's now kind of led into the knee because that stuff is all interconnected. You talk to any doctor and they will tell you that stuff. And he is maximizing the opportunities that he's out there. And I think that that's what you'll see tonight, is him giving maximum effort. He's been very courteous of the Canadian fans he's run into, even here in L.A. Like, he spoke to the media the other day and talked about how people are still coming up to him here in Southern California, wherever the team has been, and thanked him for his time there. And I think he truly did enjoy the moment there. And I think that that'll always be there. But, yeah, the guy's a Terminator, man. Like, he wants to take out everybody and anybody.
With George Sedano of ESPN, who do you believe is the best team in L.A. today on November 11th?
On November 11th, I think it's the Lakers, despite the loss to the Clippers early in the season, only because I think they can boast something that the Clippers can't until Paul George is healthy, which is Paul's in that top five, but he's certainly in that top 10. And you're talking about two perimeter guys who are, I think, number one and two as far as two-way players playing offense and defense and being able to carry the load on both ends. So I think that changes the dynamics some. And then the other thing to look out for between those two teams is who lands Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala is probably going to be a buyout candidate. He's not going to play in Memphis. And if one of those two teams lands him, it could potentially give them a bit of an edge. I think he can swing the balance there some. If he goes to the Clippers, all of a sudden the Clippers have three guys they can throw at LeBron. If he goes to the Lakers, then all of a sudden, you know, LeBron has certainly been way more engaged on defense, but I think that that comes at a cost because you saw it yesterday. He didn't have his usual lift in that situation. He got swatted a bunch of times, which isn't necessarily the norm, even at his age. He's still unbelievably athletic. But I do think if he can get Iguodala, that does help him and help them defend on the perimeter, where I think even as great as they've been on defense, they can be a little leaky at times against the premier-type guys.
We've been talking about load management and the way, you know, the Clippers handle it, the way the Raptors did a year ago. Then there's an extreme example with what's going on in Golden State, where they've effectively told Klay Thompson, don't even try to come back.
Yeah. Why would you?
And, well, I hear you, but, like, if we're going to say you've got to play, like, one game in October because it's on ESPN, shouldn't star players have an expectation to return for, like, 25 games to end the season? Like, Steph Curry, this is not an injury that should keep him out for the whole year. But it sounds like he's just going to sit because they're brutal.
Maybe the Steph one is a better example. I don't think the Klay one is a good example of that because, I mean, look, those injuries can, at the very minimum, I mean, we've seen people in sports come back, you know, in 6 months, like Adrian Peterson, who's a freak of nature. But most guys take 9 to 12 months to truly come back. And even after they come back, it feels like they need some time to really be themselves. So with the Klay thing, I have no issue with it. With the Curry thing, look, he's also been injury prone. I don't know if it's a risk of the particular hand injury, the wrist injury that he has. I think it's just a cumulative thing with him where he's had the ankles, he's had some minor knee stuff, it's the hand. I just think you're being cautious there because historically he's just been a guy who hasn't been able to make it through the season very well.
We always appreciate the time, George. Enjoy the game tonight, buddy.
You got it, guys. Take care. Anytime.
George Sedano from ESPN.